This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Reichbrandt. This is 7-5 Radio. Check us out, 7-5radio.org, the number 7-5radio.org. I am calling you remotely from a location in Central Virginia, remote, and I'm having a good time, but we'll talk about that later, maybe. Once again, it is October 19th, 2024. Let's say hello to all of our special listeners. First, Little Billy Keebler and the men and alleged woman of the Yondosses New York Fire Department, also known as the Cello Savers. Also, we want to say hello to New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, as well as the residents of Long Island in the 2nd Congressional District. Walter, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I'm doing very well.
Outstanding. And Mike, how are we doing tonight, sir?
Doing great, brother. Thanks.
Outstanding. First order of business, as always, we want to remember the men and women of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we remember Correction Officer Bradley McNew of the Jacksonville, Florida Sheriff's Office, end of watch, October the 12th, 2024. Officer McNew was killed in an off-duty incident. He rolled up upon a domestic after work. He tried to interact as some mutt was beating his girl, and unfortunately, his life was taken. No word if the perpetrator was caught, but anyways, remember Officer McNew. Anyway, speaking of crime, news came out this week that the FBI were juking the stats. Now, what am I talking about? Well, they're making crimes disappear. I'm going to let Mike take it. He was nose deep into this all this week. Charlie Duff gave us a tidbit, and Mike ran with it. Mike, what's going on with the FBI crime data?
So a professor associated with Real Clear Investigations did a deep dive into the FBI numbers. Earlier this year, it came out that the FBI was reporting the crime numbers and that everything was way down, but they got called out because there was major cities that represent the majority of the crime reported that weren't included in their numbers. So New York, for instance, a bunch of other big cities. So he did a deep dive into it and came up with over 16,000 homicides that weren't included in the numbers, along with a bunch of other things. We're still working out the numbers because the data sets are hard to find right now because they kind of scrubbed a lot of the stuff. But basically, they revised everything down and then went quietly when no one was looking and tried to revise it back up again. And this has been going on since Biden took office, trying to make the numbers look like they're historically low, when in reality, they're actually probably about 34% higher than they have been for quite some time now. The only year besides this year where they've been up higher was in 2021, they were higher. So it's you know, them basically fudging the numbers, trying to make it look like something it's not. That, combined with the fact that they changed the system of reporting for these departments to the FBI, to how to report crime, to this new system, NIBRS, which is completely convoluted. Even searching the data became much, much harder. So it limits you. It gives you vague categories, and it limits your ability to kind of pull the numbers in a way that would actually give you an accurate count. You know, it's just another way to obfuscate the actual crime numbers and what's really going on, which is not surprising with the current regime that's in play.
So, Mike, you said that the FBI just misplaced or mishandled 16,000 homicides?
Yeah, I don't think there's any misplaced at all. I think they purposely did this. I think they did it to try and make it look like the Biden admin was on top of things, when in reality, it's like 16,099, this professor came up with, something like that, that were not reported on the FBI crime statistics that they revised back up again.
But we're talking 16,000 dead bodies. Good. I mean, yep. Jesus. And crime overall went up about 34%.
Yeah, right now it's about 34% up. When you go in year to year, it's about a 34% increase overall. They tried to make it look like it was a decrease, like a 50-year low crime rate, which was absolutely not true. It was completely insane. But it was, in actuality, a big jump up. So 34% overall, which a lot of that probably, you know, a lot of it, honestly, due to the migrant wave that we've got, you know, a lot of it's probably migrant crime. I mean, you hear about it every single day, and there's probably quite a bit of it that's not being reported for that. And this is just the reported stuff. This isn't the unreported. I mean, the unreported is probably even higher.
Right. Right. Well, what's your take on this? Because this is just some trash.
Well, you know, adjusting crime statistics isn't anything new. I agree totally with what Mike is talking about. There's people who want to reveal the actual statistics and people that don't want to reveal the actual statistics. You have, you know, one FBI office, you know, offering everything, and you have another FBI office cutting things in half. 16,000 bodies is a lot. Just going to refer back to the mid-80s when the drugs were so wild in New York that we stopped arresting people for drugs. So crime went down. Well, actually, arrested crime went down. It was still happening. Reported crimes, you know, are just that, reported crimes. If there's no crime, there's, you know, there's nothing to report except that there wasn't a crime. Then I believe wholeheartedly that there's somebody or somebodies in the FBI that take calls and just decide if it's worthwhile filing or not. And we're talking a lot of FBI offices all over the country. So, you know, reported and not filed also happens. That'll drop crime rate. But I agree. There ain't no way this could be the lowest crime in 50 years because there's three times as many people on this in this country than there was 50 years ago. So it's getting worse. It'll continue to get worse. You may have 1 or 2%, you know, every so often less, but it will never be a significant drop. This is going to continue. You know, Trump isn't a miracle man. It's going to continue in his administration. Also, what he can do is avoid a lot by getting people out of the country that don't belong here that are committing crimes, period. So the FBI is a lot to think about when these crimes are not reported, aren't reported. We just need to not believe the FBI every time and hope for the best, really. Hope for the best.
Right. Well, you bring up a good point. If there's no arrest, there's no reported crime. And now, Mike, you left the police department much later than Walter and myself, and these bosses spend all day juking the stats. I mean, if we just these departments are just reporting what they want to report. I mean, how often do you see bosses trying to declassify crimes or say it didn't happen or make felonies into misdemeanors to lower the crime rates of their precinct or their district?
That was my entire career. That was like a constant. It was my entire career. You know, you'd make a pickup arrest for like a burglary, for instance, and the desk sergeant would be, you know, trying to downgrade it to trespass and petty larceny, you know, because they didn't want to report the burglary, even though the DA's office was still going to charge burglary, you know. But for the numbers, it would be a petty larceny and a trespass, so it would look like a misdemeanor crime, and that way it's not hitting the numbers. So the real numbers are dramatically higher than probably what's even been reported for a long time. And Walt's absolutely right. It's, you know, Trump, you know, listen, I think Trump made a lot of things a lot better, but until we actually put in place, you know, legitimate legislation that actually allows police to be police and while still protecting the rights of, you know, individuals, it's not going to get better. You know, we need better leadership in the police departments throughout the country. You need, you know, better legislation to allow police officers to do their job without the constant, you know, attacks from every angle. You know, it's not going to get better. Right now, cops in the city can't do anything. They're potted plants.
Right. Anyways, hopefully we'll get Charlie Duff on later down this year to talk about this. Anyways, coming up next, we'll talk about the Kamala Harris interview on Fox. Also, Obama's mad at the brothers. And Tim Walz can't load a shotgun. Stay tuned, everybody. This is Stem 5 Radio.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Tanilla's Instagram account. Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. We go from one disaster to another disaster. Earlier this week, the Vice President Kamala Harris was on Fox News with an interview with Bret Baier. My expert analysis is quite simply an absolute car wreck. I wasn't shocked at all, but it was a car wreck. Anyways, Walter, on the other hand, did some actually research, some great analysis. Walter, take it away. What's your opinion of this abomination that was the Kamala Harris interview on Fox News?
Well, it was just, you know, unbelievable from the get-go. Number one, it was supposed to be, she was supposed to be in seat in front of Bret Baier at 5:00 Eastern time. She finally showed up at 5:17, okay, which cuts the interview in half. She wasn't late because of traffic. She was late because her team wanted her to be late. When they finally sat down, they only had 30 minutes of a scheduled 45 minutes, and her team was cutting it down to 20. Now, you know, he's got the vice president in front of him. He's got his questions. He had to pick the questions that he felt that were most important at the time, because, you know, Bret Baier, fair. He's been around a while. He's a journalist. He has good ratings, and he's about as honest as they come. And he had a itinerary of questions to ask her, so we had to pick and choose the ones that were most important. And of course, she did not answer one of them. She just chose to filibust and say these off-the-wall accusations. She must have used Donald Trump's name 75 or 80 times in the 25 minutes. Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Over and over and over again, when asked, when she realized that Biden's cognitive abilities were gone, she swears, you know, she puts the hand up and says, you know, she's been with him. And he goes from the White House to the Situation Room. Well, he's surrounded by 10 people. He's going to make it, whether they drag him there or he walks there, you know, whether he gets there tomorrow. He's going to get there sooner or later. And she swears up and down that Joe Biden is perfectly fine. And it's Donald Trump that's the one that's losing his ability. He's the one that's, well, now exhausted is the new word she uses. She does not have any idea what to do without staff. And if she, well, she claims that she did well. All the left channels claims she did well. I mean, they could spin it any way they want. So if she felt that she was doing that well in that interview with hardball questions, which, of course, we know she was not, she should have waved off her team and said, let's continue on with this because I got this Brett Barr by the balls. And she didn't. And she didn't. And you know, one of the reasons why she's not going to get in, now this is a little bit of a quip of mine. You know, we know how she's gotten to the top. I mean, you know, she's got a little bit of an education. You know, you don't become a lawyer by being really stupid. Even Joe Biden, you know, became a lawyer. He was in the bottom 5% of his class, but he still became a lawyer. So she's an attorney. And then she made her way up the ranks, and to become president, she didn't realize that she is going to have to do more guys than she did when she became the attorney general. Okay. And the BMW isn't in the picture. It'll just be the beast. See, so she didn't realize that this is actually hard work. Not only to become president, but to be president, because she sure as hell doesn't know what being a vice president is. She's done whatever she wanted. But when asked about 79% of people in the United States are saying that the country is headed in the wrong direction, what does she have to say about that? Because she wants to turn the page. What do you turn the page on? You know, you say you're not Joe Biden and you're not Donald Trump. And she says, Donald Trump's been running for 10 years. Now, what in the hell does that have to do with today's statistic of 79% of our people are saying that country's headed in the wrong direction? You know, she's been handed this thing on a silver platter and she's just turned it into, you know, worthless tin. And it's tarnished and it's dirty. She doesn't know what to do. And hopefully a lot of people will see this. Oh, did you see the barbershop? Well, we'll talk about the barbershop visits later on by Donald Trump. Yeah. If we have time.
We'll do that next segment. But anyways, Mike, what's your take on this car wreck featuring car wreck Kamala?
That was, you know, it was just, it was every interview she's had that was anything of any substance. I mean, She can't answer a simple question. She needs a teleprompter to even try and sound like she knows what she's talking about. She's, you know, petulant and kind of like, you know, standoffish and not at all professional, not at all like presidential. I mean, she doesn't even have the ability to just answer a simple question, much less, you know, seem like she actually understands the subject of what she's talking about. She's a disaster as a candidate. Listen, I mean, she graduated law school, so I have to agree. She's probably not stupid, you know. She's not a stupid person in that sense. But as far as candidacies and being a candidate, she's completely inept, you know, because she doesn't carry herself at all in any way like a leader. She doesn't even act like a leader. I mean, she doesn't engage with people properly. She's very socially awkward. She can't answer simple questions. And that interview was a train wreck, an absolute train wreck. And it had to have cost her votes. I mean, you're facing, you know, Americans are disapproving of the current path of the country at 79%. Think about that number. That's 79%. That's amazingly high. Amazingly high. And she has no response. Well, Trump's been running for 10 years. Who the hell gives a shit? The country's going in the wrong direction. Everybody's telling you that. Respond to that. Go back to that place. Start from there, and you can build out. I mean, she has a very, very strong party behind her. The Democrat Party is very strong, right? You know, we can't discount the fact that they're very strong and they're very, very well organized. And, you know, with all that, and with all the media on her side, she still can't pull this thing out. She's still getting her ass trounced everywhere she turns. It's amazing. It's a train wreck.
Right. And, you know, well, you brought up she's running late because of traffic. She is the vice president of the United States. She has a police escort going full bore wherever she goes. So they're full of you-know-what. Now, if she had a campaign issue or a campaign stop or some other campaign thing, fine, but it's not traffic. But we all know she's some garbage. She can't comprehend a sentence. She's terrible in front of cameras, off of cameras. Terrible vice president. Maybe the only good she does was when she was with Willie Brown and Montel Williams. Anybody have anything else before we move on to our next subject?
I think we blew by that segment pretty well.
Yeah. Right. But anyways, moving right along, the former President Obama was campaigning for Kamala Harris because they got to pull out the big guns because she can't do it herself, and President Obama criticized the black community, especially the brothers, for not coming out for Harris because for a number of reasons. Well, what's the you about Obama criticizing the brothers for not coming out for Kamala Harris?
You know, that skinny string bean's got some set of onions on him to do that. You know, he's not even all black, and he goes into an all black, you know, venue. And, you know, he walks in like he's coming in as like a WWE wrestler, shaking hands with the crowds, high fives, hard high fives, hard handshakes with a shoulder bump to everybody. You know, we're all brothers in here. We're all brothers in here. And then he lays it on the brothers that it's their fault if Kamala doesn't get elected because they need to vote because she's black. Well, she ain't black. He's, you know, partially black. I don't even want to say he's half black. He's partially black. Kamala isn't black at all, but yet he's getting down on all the brothers that they need to vote for her, if not for anything, but because she's black. Now, you know, I don't want to sound prejudiced, and I'm far from it. But again, if you succeed in life because the color of your skin, no matter what color you may be or what you claim to be these days, you have no business being in that position, period. None. You're a loser if you accept it.
Right. But anyways, coming up, we'll get Mike's take on Obama chastising the brothers. Also, Tim Walz can't load a shotgun, and Real Men for Harris. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on Libby News Radio Network. Can't wait, boys.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The hope is dead.
From Focus Features comes the electrifying new film, Conclave.
We're about to choose the most famous man in the world.
Based on the international best-selling thriller,
the Pope discovered something before he died.
Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci.
Ambition becomes corruption.
John Lithgow and Isabella Rossellini.
We sisters have eyes and ears.
Top critics are raving. Conclave is hands down the best picture of the year.
I have to find the truth.
Conclave, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Only in theaters October 25th.
What are you going to do if Kamala wins? Moving to gold now is an option. At Premier Gold, we specialize in helping those with a 401k or other types of retirement accounts convert their vulnerable paper assets into physical gold. Today, we'd like to send you a free gold election kit to help you decide if this is right for you. Call 606-800-8000. Premier Gold is not a financial advisor. Please consult with your advisor before investing. Call 606-800-8000.
Wave of influencers on TikTok and other social media platforms starting specializing in a trend they call kindness content.
That usually entails recording a charitable act like giving money or goods to strangers in need. Creators like Jimmy Darts have millions of followers they encourage to crowdfund to raise money for their video subjects. But some critics find the content to be problematic, calling into question the ethics of recording strangers and people who are homeless, the lack of regulations these creators have to abide by, and the profits the creators make off the millions of views they get online. Keith Peters reporting.
Many farmers in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa scrambling to feed their flocks after a struggling organic broiler chicken producer abruptly closed that one year after getting a $39 million federal loan. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Major brush fire in the Golden State.
A fast-moving California fire fed by strong winds burned at least two homes Friday and damaged several others in a hillside neighborhood in the city of Oakland, where hundreds of people were ordered to evacuate before more than 100 firefighters stopped the progress of the flames. Crews arrived as the inferno quickly grew, with winds ranging from calm breezes to 40-mile-per-hour gusts during red flag conditions. Red flag warnings were issued for fire danger from the Central Coast through the Bay Area and into northern Shasta County, not far from the Oregon border. I'm Julie Walker.
Some 200,000 letter carriers are reaching a tentative deal with the Postal Service, including backdated pay raises, also a promise to provide workers with air-conditioned trucks. That likely vote coming up sometime next week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stang with Walter Yerkew and Mike Rickbrandt. I am at a remote location in Central Virginia tonight. That's why I'm talking over the phone. Anyways, we're talking about former President Barack Obama criticizing black men for not getting behind Kamala Harris. Mike, what say you about Obama bashing the brothers?
Well, first of all, not surprised. He's an elitist dirtbag, so he just kind of showed his ass with that and what he is. But the blowback was epic from the black community, and you can see it all across social media everywhere. It was just epic, but it was well-deserved blowback because, I mean, how dare you go out and insult these people like they're not intelligent, like they don't understand, like they're just supposed to just do what you say because you say so. But that's the problem the Democrat Party's had for a while now with the black community, is that they keep just acting like they're still on the plantation. They're just going to do what they're told to do, you know? So the fact that they're intelligent, reasonable people and they can make decisions for themselves is apparently lost on the Democrats, and especially on Obama, who should know better. You know, what a major, major misstep for them. This is all going to cost them.
Right. My take is that, you know what, these black men are sick and tired of Joe Biden because every time they go to the gas station or grocery store, they're getting fleeced. We got all these overseas complex we're spending billions of dollars for and sending our boys overseas. They're sick and tired of these illegal aliens coming in and getting a free handout, a free ride. Meanwhile, these taxpayers and natural born citizens get absolutely nothing. They're sick and tired of the crime. We just reported at the beginning of the hour how crime is just going through the roof. They're probably sick and tired of boys playing in girls' sports and boys using the girls' bathroom. And they're probably sick and tired of being pandered to about every 4 years. Say, hey, come vote for us. Look what we did for you. Like, what have you done? You know, people are just as poor as they were for generations. But, Walter, you brought up a very good point. Earlier this week, President Trump walked into a barbershop in the Bronx. It wasn't someplace I would go to because it's a different section of the Bronx. Take it away. What's your take on Donald Trump rolling up to the barbershop in the Bronx?
Well, he was on Fox and Friends yesterday morning, and he Thursday morning, and he met one of the hosts there, Lawrence Jones, and he asked Donald Trump, how about getting down into the community instead of just rallies and stuff, and Trump agreed. So they went to a barbershop, and it was all set up. Secret Service was there. Snipers were out there on the buildings, and the crowds were out there because they knew who was coming. Word got out, and he was inside just talking to the population. The population happened to be brown. And they were talking about how they hard, it's hard to make a living. It's hard to keep a job with all the influx of the immigrants. And Donald Trump had talked to them about what he will do when he gets into office. And it was very well accepted. He did very well. He stayed in the barbershop for close to an hour taking questions and such. And, wow. We come right down to it. You could talk about barbershops, as much as you want, but barbershops, beauty shops, tattoo shops, you name it. People talk and people are there and they're from, most of them have got their feet on the ground and are hardworking and need an outlet to talk about what's on their minds. And Mr. Trump showed up to this outlet and listened to people. Now, it's a pretty darn good idea. I think this should be done more often with local politicians. I think, the next real mayor of New York City needs to do that. I think Rudy Giuliani used to do it, not straight to barbershops, but he would walk through the park, with his entourage, and he would, meet with people. But, it's unheard of. I mean, Kamala wouldn't even show up to, you know, Al Smith's charity dinner. And here you have Donald Trump, you know, showing up to a barbershop, too. So she's like the most unsociable. I bet she's unsociable in the threesome. Oops, did I say that out loud?
Well, this is 7-5 Radio. Now, how did Trump look walking the barbershop? Did he look like Joe Biden buying a bag of Doritos at a Wawa gas station, or did he look at home?
Oh, he sat. He sat there. You know, he was dressed in a suit and tie. You know, like normal. And he sat next to Lawrence Jones, and you know, he was leaning forward, not sitting back. He was leaning forward. You know, in talking, he was leaning forward in listening. He wasn't just sitting back and pretending that he already had the answers to all their questions before they even asked him, like Kamala does. He didn't filibust anybody. He got to the point. He got to the point, so he gets to the point when he answers questions, so he could take more questions. Right. And that's what he's about, you know, to learn and to understand. And you know, as much of a money guy Donald Trump is, and a builder, you know, in order to get stuff built, you have to hire middle class people and lower class people, because they're the labor. So for the past 60 years, he knows what labor is. And, you know, now he's meeting the people that, you know, his companies and his father's companies used to hire. So now he's meeting them, and he understands what's going on. But like anybody else, you can't understand everything. So you get pointers. You get tips from the people on the street.
Right. And I like the fact that you mentioned that Trump leaned forward. That's a sign that you're trying to listen and pay close attention to what people are saying, or somebody trying to get the point across. Mike, you got anything to add about Trump seeing the brothers at the barbershop?
Absolutely. Look at the disparity. Look at the contrast between Trump sitting down in a barbershop for almost an hour and just answering questions, you know, speaking, you know, extemporaneously and being able to answer questions and be honest and be sincere and actually connect with these people, versus, you know, Kamala, who can't even answer questions during an actual interview, much less when she's actually dealing with real people. It's the disparity is dramatic, and that contrast, when it's shown, that makes a huge difference. I think that's what you're seeing that in the polls. You're seeing her polls dropping, his rising, and it's obvious. The difference is obvious.
Right. But anyways, and Trump's been doing this for years. I think even before he was running for president, he just go in and just hang out or help somebody, or, you know, buy gas or whatever it is. I remember some time ago he went to a bodega in the Bronx and he got a hero's welcome. I mean, mind you, this is the Bronx at some bodega in not the best neighborhood, and he gets a hero's welcome. And meanwhile, Kamala can't get a hero's welcome from fellow Democrats. Anyway, anything else before we move on? I'll take that as a no. Anyways, Warrior Tim Maltz last week had his annual pheasant hunt in his home state of Minnesota. Now, this man was a member of the National Guard, and the way he talks about it, you swear to God, he was Audie Murphy or Chris Kyle. But he had a problem with a shotgun. Mike, I know you have a bone to pick with the governor. You want to take this one, or you want me to run with it?
This guy is a joke on every level. I can't believe, like, you know, how awful did that look? Oh, I've had this shotgun for years, but I can't load it. It's probably the easiest weapon platform that you could imagine to load and actually utilize as a shotgun, right? They are the most simple, straightforward weapon possible. It is, I mean, my 6-year-old could load a shotgun, and this you know, guzzling dirtbag can't friggin' load a damn shotgun, but he wants me to believe he carried weapons in war. Like, for the love of God, man, like, this guy, I can't stand the guy, but I'm so glad that she picked him, because it just shows exactly how really awful they are It really is. It's like the most obvious example of what's absolutely wrong with the country right now. Someone like this is actually a governor somewhere. What a joke.
Right. Well, let's say you real quick about Timmy can't load a shotgun.
Is he all thumbs?
You know, I don't know.
Think she's loading them with tampons?
Damn, that's my joke. Anyways, come back. I want to talk about Tim Walz real quick. Also, the Real Men for Harris and a 10-13 at the Burger King. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 7-5 Radio.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Oh, here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. This is the fastest hour of radio. Walter Yurkow, my great friend, yours truly, Scoop Stanton. And, of course, that is right on cue. I was looking at the Instagram account of our spokesmodel, Danelle Rodriguez. Please, for the love of God, follow her at danelle.fitnessmodel on Instagram. And you got to take a look at her modeling photos. Good grief. I'll just keep it at that. But, anyways, back to Tim Walz. You know, we try to get ahead of everything at all times. And before we should call Tim Walz Tampon Tim. But then after the debate, we called him Elmer Fudd. Boy, did we hit the money on that one. And, of course, Walter stole my joke. I said the problem was he wasn't loading with birdshot or buckshot, but is he loading with tampons? Anyways, moving right along, writer for the Jimmy Kimmel Show decided to make a commercial on his own, not for any campaign or any super PAC or political action committee, but called Real Men for Harris. There were men in the commercial, but I'll just leave it at that. Anybody want to take this first, the Real Men of Harris commercial, or you want me to run with it?
You got to run.
Okay. Anyways, this commercial is an absolute joke. You're not going to see guys like me, Walter, Mike, or Charlie, or any of the people associated with this show or this network whatsoever. The first clip is, you see some big fat guy, looks like Scoop Stan's twin brother, talking about eating carburetor for breakfast. First of all, he shouldn't be talking about eating anything, number one, because it looks like he ate everything. Number two, when's the last car that actually had a carburetor installed as part of the engine? And then you had some other guy sitting almost cross-legged like he was posing for something, talking about bears. And those in the Alphabet Mafia know what a bear is, and then it just went down from there. You got some brother, some angry brother saying he can bench press 500 pounds, which I doubt it, and then braid his daughter's hair. And then some guy, some crazy looking guy, I guess he's supposed to be a biker or something, said that women have the right to do with their bodies as they wish. But no mention about the jab, and it's just that it's cringeworthy how awful this commercial was. And these guys were not typical alpha males, you know, guys supporting Trump. You know, you don't see like a Chuck Zito, a Chris Rock, a Dana White, Tucker Carlson. It's just embarrassing because first they drag out Tim Walz, you know, Elmer Fudd can't load a shotgun. And I used to work with a Beretta semi-automatic. They are really awesome shotguns to use, really easy to load. And that's the vice presidential candidate. And then you have the second gentleman who was praised for being a beta male, but I guess he gets heavy-handed with women, and if he's not knocking up his nanny. Mike, what say you about Real Men for Harris?
That was the most cringy commercial I've ever seen. It was ridiculous. It was a caricature of what any kind of real man is. You know, it was a complete caricature. It was like as though somebody who had no clue what it actually looks like to be a real man sat down and said, how do we make this look like real men? And came up with the most ridiculous opposite version they could think of and threw it out there and was serious about it. That was the horrible thing about it. They were actually serious about this thing. The fact they spent so much time and money with these actors to do this video, you know, and not realize how really awful it is. Like, what kind of echo chamber do you have to live in to think that that was ever a good idea? That was the dumbest thing I've seen in my life. I think I lost IQ points from having watched it, and it was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, what say you about this awful commercial?
All those guys, they checked their man cards at the door and never got them back.
Right. But anyways, it turns out, who is it? The Babylon Bee actually dug into the actors, and most of these guys are gay. And another thing, one of the actors sitting in the back of the pickup talk about is full throated endorsement of Kamala Harris. I'm like, is this a joke? You know, talking about bears and a full throated endorsement? I mean, the only thing missing was a clip of Tim Walz trying to load that Beretta automatic shotgun. It was just absolutely horrible. And it was, you know, Harris campaign did not endorse it or sponsor it, but some guy did it on his own and just he failed enormously. It just shows how the political elites think of us, and they don't know anything about being a man. But anyways, our last story real quick. In Cobb County, Georgia, last year, the sheriff himself for Cobb County went to Burger King. He ordered some food for him and his companion, and he didn't get it his way. So instead of going to the store and saying, hey, can you fix this order, or can I get the name of somebody I can report this mess up with? He had deputies come to the Burger King store, lights the siren, and going up and get the information for the name of the store manager and whoever the owner of the store is. And why this guy hasn't been removed from office is beyond me, because that is just a clear-cut textbook definition of abuse of power. Mike, real quick, what say you about this sheriff that sends his deputies down to do his work?
It's an egregious abuse of power. You're 100% right. That's a ridiculously – that's bad, man. The guy – that's bad. I mean, he could be charged, right, criminally. It's like, you know, misuse of resources in public office. There's got to be – you know what I mean? That's insane.
Right. But, well, I'll give you the last word. So you're Deputy Yerke for the Cobb County Sheriff's Office. You get a call from dispatch. Hey, head over to Burger King. Run code. He's got a sheriff's over there. He's got a problem with the food order. What would you tell dispatch and or the sheriff?
Well, I think I'd tell him no. If there's a crime being committed, there's no crime being committed. Why would they call him? It doesn't make any sense. You know, it's probably not on the unwritten list of getting food on the arm, so it can't be that. So, you know, I don't know. Some people just have to grow up. Got to grow up.
Right. Yeah. But these deputies actually went and followed the sheriff's instructions. I guess, you know, what these deputies don't realize, like, listen, you're certified law enforcement officer in the state of Georgia. If you tell the sheriff no, he fires you. Guess what? You can be picked up anywhere quick, because at the time, at this present day, there's no there's a severe shortage of law enforcement everywhere. They're giving out bonuses. But anyways, hopefully this sheriff loses this election, because it's just like Mike said, egregious abuse of power. But anyways, real quick, while we got a couple seconds left, I want to remind everybody, next week we have a huge show coming up. It's going to be the Political Cesspool's 20th anniversary. James Edwards is going to give me a full half hour to say what's on my mind, so I'm going to spend most of the time promoting 7-5 Radio. Also, it's a special anniversary for one of our family members. Our best show ever was last year at this time, and I still can't believe we did it. So stay tuned next week and get ready to enjoy the show. Also, finally, check us out on TikTok. Yesterday I did an hour and 22 minutes just rambling on, just like I do here for 54 minutes. If you go to TikTok, it's 7-5 Radio on TikTok, not the website. Also, the website is 7-5radio.org, the number 7-5radio.org. Walter, we got a couple seconds left. You got anything you want to share?
No.
You don't have any pictures of women's feet you want to post and say it's mine?
Those are your feet. Don't lie.
All right. Okay, Mike, do you have anything you want to share about my banana hammock, anything like that?
I would like the listening audience to know that that Pete was at a nudist colony today, and shrinkage was in full effect.
Well, why? Were you there?
No, I heard the rumblings.
You heard? You're up in New York. How you know I was a nudist colony? I might have been a huge cookout in the middle of Virginia, nudist colony. Who? Why would
I were cooking cocktail when he's maybe from what I hear.
Nudist colonies have cookouts.
Sure.
How would you? Well, I'm not gonna ask Walter how you know about nudist colonies, because I mean, just, good grief, you put up numbers that are just like off the charts. Yeah. Mid-October, I'm going to a nudist colony. Who am I going with? Myself? Anyway, don't answer that. For Walter Yerke and Mike Raybant, this is Peter Scoop Standard reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.